This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning, and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, if you'd like to contact me, get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address or my website address down at the close of the program. My website has this program on it, and the website also has a weekly meditation on it, as well as other material. If you'd like to give me prayer requests or in any way, if you need to contact me, you can contact me through either the website or my regular mail. And so if you need those addresses, again, get a pencil and a piece of paper out to write them down. Now today we're going to begin reading from Luke chapter 12 and verse 13, which says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' But he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?' And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.' Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul," he talked to himself, and he says, "I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Then said he to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on." And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. It seems that the Lord has a lot to say about preparation, and he makes it clear that most people prepare for time, but they really don't prepare for eternity. And the rich man in our passage is like that, and he also makes it clear that money is a big issue in our lives. Money represents security. Money represents power. And so most of us want that security, and we want the power that goes with that. And the last time we were noting that he tells us he takes care of the sparrows. He says, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." And so he's telling us that he is providing for us. He will provide for us, and we need to depend on him to provide for us. Now, it seems to me that you can tell whether a person is really a Christian or not by whether they have faith in God to provide. If God can provide eternal life, certainly he can provide our needs for this life. And so we have a tendency to want to depend upon ourselves, to want to build up a nest egg, to build up our 401ks, our IRAs, to make sure that we have our annuities in order and our real estate and rental properties all in order so that we can have a nice life when we retire. And we spend all of our time trying to get that security and the power that goes with it. And yet it's so easy for us to become like this rich man who provide all of those things and forget that once we get them provided for, we may not have that long life that we are expecting to have. We may not have that ability to enjoy the things we have provided for. And even as you go back to the writer of Ecclesiastes and the writer of Proverbs, and you begin to see the vanity and the shortness of this life and the fact that we can provide for all these things, but when we die, we leave them to somebody else, and we really don't have anyone that we can be sure is going to handle what we've left behind in the way we want it handled. So the question is, are we preparing for the wrong life? Is that what we are doing? The last time the Lord says that he can take care of sparrows and he can take care of us, and now we're looking at a man who probably is unsaved, probably has never come to trust in the Lord Jesus as as the eternal God and as the Savior of sinners, a man who is self-sufficient and he has it made. And he says, as we look at this, he says he had worked hard, his ground, God had blessed him, his ground had yielded plentifully, and he says, "I will pull he doesn't have room for all that he needs to store. And he says, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Now, he could have used some of that to help the poor. He could have used some of that to help his family. He could have used some of that to help people caught in disasters. But he was only worried about his own retirement. He was only worried about his own well-being. And of course, people don't really ever expect to die. I worked with a lawyer once who did a lot of work with older people and their wills. And I remember one time he came down to my office where I was sharing office space with him. He came down to my office and he said, these people are 80 years old and they don't have a will. He says they don't ever expect to die. They're not preparing to die. And I had talked to him from time to time about the gospel because he had never properly prepared himself to die. Now, he may have had his will in order, but he had never really understood that this life is temporary, but eternal life is going to be, for all practical purposes, permanent, and it's that life that we need to prepare for. And so here's a man who, like the 80-year-old, has not made out, he didn't expect to die. This man may have made out his will, I don't know, but he's living as though he doesn't need a will. He's living as though he doesn't need anything because he's going to live forever. And the Lord says to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then will whose these things be which you have provided? And you look at that and think about it, and it's just a wasted life, is it not? Spent all his time getting ready for a part of his life he would never be able to enjoy. I don't know whether he had a heart attack or whether he had cancer or whether he died of pneumonia, but the point is, the Lord took him, and we are accountable to the Lord. Those people who didn't want to make out their wills, they probably died without wills. And my friend who was complaining that they had never prepared wills, they weren't getting ready to die, he had, and I'm quite sure about this, he had never himself prepared spiritually for the day he would die. And he died young, quickly, without having a chance to really think about where he was going after he died. He had a heart attack. And so while the people he was complaining about hadn't prepared for this life and hadn't prepared in this life for death, he hadn't prepared in this life for the afterlife. And perhaps the people who would not make out a will had not done that either. Folks, the point I'm making is that if we live for time, we're wasting our efforts. But if we live for eternity, that's where the blessing lies. That there's going to be an eternity, there is no question. That things are going to continue after we die, of that there is no question. The question is, how's it going to continue and how's it going to be for us? And the Bible makes it clear that for those of us that are saved, we're going to go to be with the Lord when we die. We don't know what that involves completely. We know that if we suffer with him, and Christians down here do suffer, then the Bible says we'll also reign with him. So there's going to be a sense in which we're going to serve him when he reigns, and he is going to come to reign. And there are people down here that are suffering. They are more concerned about the hereafter than they are about the time right now. There's a pastor in Iran right now who has been sentenced to 8 years in prison because of work he did starting house churches back in the year 2000. He went back to build an orphanage, and they have arrested him, and they have tortured him, and they have put him in prison, and yet he has not denied the Lord. Our previous section had to do with being ashamed if we were not willing to confess the Lord before men, then the Son of Man would not confess us before the angels of God. And he says in Luke 12 and verse 9, he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. But here's a pastor who is really saved and will not deny the Lord. And as a result, the odds are he's going to die in that prison. The odds are he's going to leave it all behind. And the question is, what's the purpose of it all? Why? When, in fact, he could have perhaps denied the Lord, gotten out of prison, and had a wee old time in this life. No, he's living for eternity. There's a man who went to the Aka Indians, and he was told that he would probably die there. His name was Jim Elliott. and the Aka Indians was a tribe of cannibals. And when people asked him why he was going to go to the Aka Indians, he said he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He was willing to give up his life in order to gain eternal reward. Now, we don't get saved by being faithful to the Lord, but people who are saved generally want to be faithful to the Lord. They don't want to be ashamed at his coming. They want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And they are more interested in pleasing the Lord than they are in amassing great wealth. And so this man, this just rings in my ears, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you." He gave up something that he couldn't keep, and he lost what he could have had for eternity because he spent all of his time worrying about the here and now and not spending the time he should have thinking about his relationship with God. And friend, the question is, have you thought about your relationship with God? Have you been so involved with trying to make it in this life, in trying to live the American dream, in trying to be a good father, be a good wife, be a good son, be a good daughter, making it in your profession? Have you spent so much time on that that you haven't had time to think about where you'll spend eternity? Folks, where we'll spend eternity is the most important thing we can think about. And the Bible is clear that we either spend it in heaven with the Lord, or we spend it in hell away from the Lord. And the reason we spend it in heaven isn't because we're good, but it's because Christ died for our sins 2,000 years ago. And he has said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." If we come to the Lord and trust him, he has said, his death is sufficient to take us to heaven. And when we find out that he was willing to put away our sins, if he had the love that it took to go to a cross of Calvary and put away our sins, and when we realize that, it is our desire then to be faithful to him. And so I'm thankful today that I can say that I am prepared for eternity. And I hope you're prepared for eternity. I can look back to the day in my life when in my room I trusted the Savior and found out that he had died for me, and I rested on that, and it changed my outlook. Instead of spending all of my time trying to prosper in a profession, it has made it, I have felt that it was my responsibility and business to tell others to flee from the wrath to come, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved, to prepare for eternity and not spend all of their time building up wealth on this earth. I'm thankful for those who have wealth. They use it well and use it well for the Lord. But that shouldn't be our purpose. That should not be our occupation. That should not be first. Christ and our relationship with him should be first. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless what has been of thyself. We just trust that those who are listening will make sure they're not fools and that they will not spend all of their time on the here and now and forget that they need to be prepared to meet you in eternity. Now we do thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen. Now our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.